I think if Congress doesn't act, we are 3 to 5 years away from seeing a 30 to 50 college football programs and every other program going under.
I'm expecting to have a very, very special guest on the show to talk to us about college sports and what's transpiring as we speak right now. There's a lot going on in the world of college sports, make no mistake about it. We just heard Kirby Smart, head football coach for the University of Georgia, talking about how if things are not done to have rules in place that everybody has to abide by, he is in support of his university president, who said maybe we need to make up our own rules since they don't have any rules that are universally followed by everybody. And so that's a lot to get into, make no mistake about it, and that's exactly what we're about to get into now. He is here. My guest today is a senator from the great state of Texas and the chairman of the U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation. He is here to discuss newly proposed legislation in college sports. Please welcome, for the first time, to the Stephen A. Smith Show on Mad Dog Sports Radio, Senator Ted Cruz. How are you, sir? How's everything going? It's good to see you again.
Stephen, good to see you. I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. So tell us about this, this legislation that's being proposed. Just break it down for us in your words, sir.
Well, sure. Look, you and I have talked before about the crisis that college sports faces right now. We've got, I think, chaos in college sports, which results in athletes going through the transfer portal over and over and over again. It results in entire programs having to rebuild every year. We're seeing week after week different schools that are canceling programs. They're canceling women's sports. They're canceling track and field. They're canceling tennis. And schools are caught in an out-of-control spending spiral where they're losing tens of millions of dollars. And I think we're at a real risk of seeing an awful lot of schools having to shut down major parts of their athletic programs. And so there's a need for Congress to step in and act. And you and I have discussed before, I've spent 3 years working, trying to get a bipartisan coalition for Congress to act to bring stability to the programs, to protect the scholarships that we got across the country, to protect college sports. This week, finally, we announced bipartisan legislation that I drafted along with Democrat Maria Cantwell. As you noted, I'm the chairman of the Senate Commerce Committee. She is the ranking member, the senior Democrat on the Commerce Committee. We also have on the legislation Eric Schmidt, Republican from Missouri, and Chris Coons, Democrat from Delaware. So it's bipartisan legislation designed to put in place some basic rules, to provide some order and to stop the chaos. And I think there's real momentum, and I'm happy to talk about the specifics as is helpful.
Well, I want to know what's, from a plausible perspective, what's the chances of this getting pushed forward? I know the president obviously was involved. He convened an abundance of people in the nation's capital months ago. What's the chances of this being pushed through? Because to be fair to our listeners right here, I want to let everybody know you're not some Johnny come lately with this issue. There's a lot of politicians that jumped on board. You've been on this for years. Yes. Even when the Democrats were in office, this has been something that has been near and dear to you in terms of what you want to discuss. What's the chances of this being pushed through?
Look, Stephen, I'm actually quite optimistic. I believe we're going to get this done. In the Senate, for any legislation to move, it has to be bipartisan. The Senate rules require 60 votes. There are only 53 Republicans. That means you need a minimum of 7 Democrats. My hope is for this bill to get a lot more than 60 votes. I'd like to see it come out of the Senate with an overwhelming bipartisan vote, because that would give it a lot of momentum in the House. I talked to President Trump last night about it. He's enthusiastic about the bill. I've been spending a lot of time talking to university presidents, athletic directors, coaches, talking to stakeholders who care desperately about it. And I think there are a lot of folks right now that are reaching out and urging senators, both Democrat and Republican, to get on board with this bipartisan bill. Look, there are a lot of elements of this that are common sense. So, for example, eligibility. the current chaos is you just have lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit, and you have athletes that have 6-7 years eligibility. You have athletes that are playing when they're 26, 27, 28 years old. You have former pros going back and playing college ball. Well, what we've written into this bill is clear eligibility rules, that every athlete has 5 years of eligibility, that 24 is the age cap. And at the end of 24, that's it. So that it's not fair to have 28-year-old guys playing against 18-year-olds. There's just too big a difference in age there. That gives some certainty. Likewise, on the transfer portal, what we've written in is every athlete gets one free transfer. You can transfer wherever you want, one free transfer. After that, you can have a second transfer if you meet specified circumstances. So if your coach leaves, you can have a second transfer. If your program is canceled, you can transfer. Or if you've been a victim of sexual assault or sexual harassment. But other than that, if you transfer, you have to redshirt for a year. You have to sit out for a year. That is similar to how the old rule used to be. And, you know, Stephen, my focus on this has really been trying to preserve the system for all the athletes. You know, there are right now more than 500,000 college athletes in America right now playing. Mm-hmm. And if we keep on the path we're on today, hundreds of thousands of those athletic positions are going away. And I don't want to see that happen, because this has been, you know, the way I approach it is not focusing on the superstars. Listen, the Michael Jordans of the world, the Arch Mannings of the world, they're going to do fine. They're going to continue to do fine. But 99% of college athletes are never going to play in the NFL, never going to play in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But college athletics gets them to school, gets them a university degree, gets them the life skills and discipline and teamwork that helps them succeed. And it's that 99% whose opportunities are really at risk right now. And that's why I think Congress needs to act to save college sports.
One of the things that I wanted to talk to you, and that's why I'm so glad, I really appreciate your time coming on the show, Senator. But I got to tell you, when I look at this issue, I get where you're coming from. Here's what bothers me. Mm-hmm. It's chaos, just like you said. Something has to be done. There's no denying that. I sort of get the impression that the NCAA, this has happened on purpose just to provoke government intervention because of something they allowed to get out of control, because of the years of exploitation that they engaged in to such a degree that even Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch spoke out against the NCAA in that regard. What do you have to say to people that look at this situation and say, college sports, particularly the NCAA as an institution, deserve their comeuppance, the chaos that they're experiencing right now? Why should the government come in and rescue them? What do you say to people who are cynics of them, not necessarily you guys?
Yeah, look, and by the way, you ought to be cynics of politicians especially, so I get there's a lot to be cynical about. But listen, NCAA has made lots of mistakes in the past, and there's no doubt the old system was unfair. One of the important things this bill does is protects the rights of athletes to receive NIL, genuine name, image, and likeness compensation, to participate in revenue sharing. It is only right and fair that if someone develops incredible skills, they worked really, really hard, they ought to be able to enjoy the fruits of their labor. And I think that is important. I think the old system where everyone got rich except the athletes, that wasn't right and it wasn't fair. So we want to protect that, and this bill does that. But we also want to make sure that we don't destroy the system. I think if Congress doesn't act, we are 3 to 5 years away from seeing a 30 to 50 college football programs and every other program going under, because most of the programs are losing millions and even tens of millions of dollars. And we'd end up with basically a mini NFL. And the other programs going away. And we're also seeing all of the non-revenue sports, Olympic sports, women's sports, track and field, tennis, being canceled over and over and over again. And that's a terrible outcome. Part of this chaos was caused by Congress, because Congress, under the antitrust laws, passed the antitrust laws. And the NCAA right now, I think, feels crippled, because any rule they try to put in place, they get sued under the antitrust laws and they lose. And so there are no rules. And so what we're trying to do is step in and say, let's preserve the system so that look, over years and decades, millions of young men and women have a chance to get an education, have a chance to succeed in life because, you know, there's no country on earth that has something like college sports in America. The opportunities we have are extraordinary, and I think right now they are in incredible jeopardy, and so this is designed to preserve that. Part of this bill mandates, there are two sides to this bill. We looked at the cost side and the revenue side. Mm-hmm. On the cost side, we tried to prevent just the constant spiraling escalation that is effectively pricing a lot of programs out of being able to compete. Okay. We wanted to slow down that spiral. On the revenue side, we looked at, okay, how can we increase the pie? How can we increase the revenue that college sports generates? And so this bill allows for college teams to pool their revenue and negotiate collectively for media rights. That impact, I think, will generate a whole lot more money for sports. And Stephen, what we do is we require that if a program comes together and negotiates for pooled media rights, that they have to preserve all of their scholarship slots and all of their roster slots for women's sports, for non-revenue sports, for Olympic sports. And so it's designed to protect everyone. Yes, the superstars, but protect everyone else too.
We're talking to the man who's unveiled the Protect College Sports Act of 2026 bill, one and only Senator Ted Cruz, right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. You became the Senate Commerce Committee Chairman in January of 2025 and said this would be a top priority, which it has been. It is now May of 2026, however. What took so long, and what does that say about Washington's ability to solve real problems that real fans and athletes are living through every single day?
Yeah, look, Stephen, it's a tough environment in Washington right now because politics is so polarized. The two sides, we don't talk to each other very much, and this is true all across the country, where left and right, you've got with social media, the left listens to left-wing media, the right listens to right-wing media, you unfriend anyone who disagrees with you, and we're just yelling at each other. I mean, we're in echo chambers where you only hear your side of the story. And I wish we would come together and talk with each other more. And we can have reasoned disagreements like adults and rational people. You know, I think back to when I was a college debater. Look, you were an athlete. I was not nearly that cool. I was a college debater.
I tried to be, but go ahead.
But, you know, look, when I was in college, I was the head of the conservative party in college, and one of my closest friends was the head of the liberal party, and we'd have a debate, and you know, he'd call me a fascist, I'd call him a communist, and then we'd go have a beer. And it was just, you know, you didn't hate each other. I'd like to see us get back to that world. The challenge getting here has been negotiating a bipartisan agreement that both sides could get to. Maria Cantwell, who is my lead partner in doing this, the last month she and I have literally been sitting down negotiating 6 to 8 hours a day, just sitting there provision after provision after provision. And both of us had to compromise. We had to give in. This is not exactly the bill I would have drafted. This is not exactly the bill she would have drafted. We had to find some common ground that would actually fix the problem, but that you could get both Republicans and Democrats to come together. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that. And so my hope is that we will see senators from both sides saying college sports is too important to let us sit idly by while it's destroyed.
Highlight specifically, Senator, what sacrifices you made in ultimately coming to the to be able to draft this bill. When you say you didn't get everything you wanted, what was it that you didn't want that you were willing to work with the other side in order to reach this agreement?
That's I'll give you three examples of concessions I made. So I filed a bill about a year and a half ago. So you could see the bill that I would have filed. It's what I filed previously.
Okay.
I would have simply empowered conferences in the NCAAs to make rules concerning eligibility in the transfer portal and left it to them to figure out the specifics. That would be my preference. Senator Cantwell did not want to do that. She had a lot of distrust of the NCAA, and she said, look, I'm not going to give them the power to go make rules, but if we write the rules, then we can let them enforce them. And so we sat down. I told you the transfer portal rules. She and I wrote that. Look, I'm not an expert in this. My instinct would be let others who are more expert decide it. But if the only way to get this done was for us to write the rules, I said, fine, let's try to do the very best we can to come up with a rule that makes sense. So that was a concession. A second concession, a big area of dispute between Democrats and Republicans, is whether student athletes are employees. Mm-hmm. I would like to say categorically they're not employees. There are all sorts of legal burdens and problems that come with characterizing them as employees. So my old version of the bill said unequivocally they are not employees. The Senate Democrats were completely unwilling to sign on to a bill that said they were not employees. And so if you insist on saying they're not employees, you get no Democrats and nothing passes. And so what we did here is we cut a compromise. It is we refer throughout the bill to those competing as student athletes. That's the term we use. And then we have a provision that says the bill is neutral on the question of employment status. We're not answering it one way or the other, and we're doing nothing to change the employment status or non-employment status of a student athlete. That's a compromise. Okay. That's not as far as I would have liked to go. But by the way, that's a compromise for the Democrats as well. So it was a middle ground.
Okay.
And the third example I'll point to you is there are a lot of these rights that we give student athletes all sorts of rights, health and safety, more health care coverage, safety standards. And then we create a series of private rights of action. Private right of action means an athlete can file a lawsuit to go enforce the standards in the bill. I would have preferred not creating those private rights of action. By creating them, there'll be a lot more litigation. But that was a compromise that I had to give in order to get Democrats on board and for them to believe there'd be real teeth in the provision. So those are examples of the kind of concessions that you had to make to find a middle ground.
Senator Ted Cruz, you convinced the White House to shut down President Trump's first presidential commission on college sports in May of 2025, if I remember correctly, because you wanted to handle this legislatively. That was considered a very, very bold move at the time, as I remember it. If the bill fails, do you believe that was still the right call to make, and where do you go from here?
Well, listen, the president did ultimately create a commission on college sports, and I went and participated in the discussions of it. I've worked very closely with the leadership of that commission. The president hosted a round table a couple of months ago that I was part of. That was a really good discussion. It was a good discussion about all of these problems and challenges. I'm glad the president did so. I spent 20 minutes on the phone with the president last night talking about this and other issues, and the president is really eager to see Congress solve this. The president can do some things through executive order, but to fix this problem, we need legislation. So the president was enthusiastic. We got to get bipartisan agreement to get something to pass, and so he was really happy that we were able to get right now two Senate Democrats. I think we will get more. I think at the end of the day, the coalition is going to be really broad. And I view the president's leadership and what we're doing is very close. Randy Levine has played a leading role on that commission, the president of the New York Yankees. Randy's become a good friend, and he's done a really good job. He talks with the president frequently. He talks with me frequently. He talks with Maria Cantwell frequently. And Randy's played a really important part of just bringing the sides together. I think that's been really helpful.
Senator Ted Cruz right here with Stephen A., Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. The revenue sharing gap is at $20.5 million per school. So a starting quarterback at Ohio State or the University of Georgia might generate about $50 million in value to that program alone, some people would say. Is Congress artificially suppressing what a free market would otherwise pay a young athlete in your estimation, or do you think otherwise?
So I don't believe we are. What we do create is the ability to enforce constraints, but we don't mandate where those constraints would be. And so right now, what was agreed in the House litigation settlement was a cap of about of $20.5 million, increasing with inflation. In the bill, we say, look, you've got the power to enforce whatever you agree the limitation should be. But you can also choose to raise that limitation like that. We're not putting a thumb on the scale of what the cap should be. But we are saying that it can't just be an unlimited bidding war, because you'd end up with 30, 40, 50 schools that could afford it. In my home state of Texas, the University of Texas at A&M, they can outbid just about anybody. And I'm a huge, I go to a lot of games. I love cheering on the Longhorns. I love cheering on the Aggies. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to see a scenario where those are the only two football teams in Texas, where you see Baylor and Texas Tech and Houston and Rice and TCU and SMU and all those schools go under. That would be a terrible thing if those football programs went away. And so I think there needs to be, just like in other sports, look, the NBA, they agree on a salary cap. And yeah. And if there wasn't, you'd just have a constant bidding war. And mm-hmm. and you would end up with a handful of teams that could afford to compete, and everyone else would not be able to be competitive. That's not any fun to watch, and it's not good for the sport.
Are you an advocate? I mean, where does this bill stand? Rather, I think a better way to frame the question is, where does this bill stand as it pertains to collective bargaining? Because I've always been a proponent. Collectively bargain. Make sure that the student athlete has representation. Have somebody in there negotiate with the NCAA. Collectively bargain for all of these things to be in place. And then that way, just like you do with the NBA, the NFL, or anything else, you lean on that, if you're the courts, to make sure that you support whatever's collectively agreed upon. What about that?
So the bill is deliberately silent on the question of collective bargaining. But what we do is we mandate athlete representation at every level. So we mandate significantly increased athlete representation within the NCAA. We allow schools to join together and negotiate for pooled media rights, and we mandate athlete representation there. We also create a legislative commission to study and make recommendations on the future of college sports, and we mandate very significant athlete representation there. So a big focus of this negotiation was making sure we're protecting the athletes, and I think if and when this bill is signed into law, student athletes will have their rights to receive compensation protected. They will have much greater health insurance. We create a $60 million health insurance trust fund to provide funding for health insurance so that student athletes have health insurance covered, not just while they're playing, but for 5 years after, for injuries or diseases that happen while you're playing or through your playing. So that's expanding the coverage, expanding the protection for athletes. Those are big improvements in the status quo. But mm-hmm. we do it in a way where the less wealthy schools can continue to participate. Look, I think Division II, Division III, you look at the historically black colleges and universities, you've got a lot of schools that field teams, and it's a big part of yeah. who they are, that if the cost spirals get crazy, they can't afford it. And so this is designed to protect those guys.
One free transfer per career. I want to get back to that for a second. Yeah. That's the ceiling if this passes. But coaches can still leave after one season. Why does a head coach have more mobility than the athlete he recruited?
Well, we actually have a new rule we put in this bill that we're okay. calling the Lane Kiffin rule. That says that a coach can't leave and start with a new program during the season or during the playoffs. And basically what we did is we copied the NFL's rule that look, if you want to go poach a coach, you can do that in the off season. But it's not fair or right to a bunch of young athletes who are working with the coach in the middle of the season or middle of the playoffs, suddenly have the coach or the athletic director or the offensive coordinator take off and go somewhere else and go to a competitor. And so that is limiting some of the abuses. There's no doubt there have been abuses on the coach side, too. And so that rule was designed to try to address that directly.
This opposition from House Energy and Commerce Chair Brett Guthrie and Education and Workforce Chairman Tim Walberg, they blasted the bill for broadening the legislation scope and failing to address whether student athletes should be treated as employees. What is your response to that?
So, look, they're friends. I actually was exchanging texts with Brett Guthrie last night and today. Mm-hmm. Listen, I actually agree with his substantive points. When you asked about what concessions I made, Brett wants to say unequivocally student athletes are not employees. I do too. The bill I filed, my own bill, says that. The challenge, which I told Brett, as I said, look, I agree with you. Zero Senate Democrats agree with us. So if we insist upon that, what we're saying is no bill's going to pass, because if you don't get any Democrats, you can't get 60 votes and you're done.
Got it.
So from my end, I think the problem is big enough we got to solve it, and that's why I tried to think creatively and reach a compromise that was midway between where I want to be and where Brett wants to be and where the Democrats want to be. And I think the need to solve it means his points, and he also complained about the private rights of action. He says there's going to be litigation from this. He's right. There is going to be litigation from this. I think it is much better than the status quo, and so we don't live in a world where one party or the other can ram through what they want. The Senate is designed to operate so that both parties have to come together, so that's what we've tried to do here.
You got to go. I got to go. We got to hard out soon. Thank you so much for your time, Senator Ted Cruz, but I'd be remiss in neglecting to ask you this question. The Congressional Black Caucus killed the Student Compensation and Opportunity Through Rights and Endorsements Act 9 days ago by linking college sports reform to voting rights and gerrymandering. That battle has now gone away. How do you get to 60 Senate votes with that dynamic in the room, especially when you got Trump's executive order deadline coming up August 1st? How do you do this?
Yeah, look, what I would say, the SCORE Act in the House, I think a lot of people worked really hard on that. They worked in good faith. It ultimately did not have broad enough bipartisan support to pass. I respect all the hard work they did on the SCORE Act. This takes a very different approach. This is a much more limited approach. It is targeted legal protections rather than broad antitrust immunity. It as I said, it has a compromise on the employment issue. This is an issue. Look, I got to say, if you're concerned about the minority community, if you're concerned about African Americans and Hispanics, and you and I are both concerned about minority communities, seeing college sports blown up, seeing hundreds of thousands of scholarships going away and the opportunity for young men and young women, many from economically disadvantaged environments, seeing the opportunity for them to go and get a college degree and compete in college athletics, that's not helping the minority community. Yeah. I think preserving those opportunities is a much bigger legacy, helping those communities have a better future.
Senator Ted Cruz out of the great state of Texas, thank you so much for your time. We spoke months ago. I enjoyed having you on my political show. I enjoyed having you here today. You promised me you would be here. I appreciate you keeping your word. Thank you so much. I had a wonderful conversation.
You,
we could have talked for another half hour, but we don't have time. You're a busy man. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, and good luck moving forward. We'll talk soon. One and only, Senator Ted Cruz out of the great state of Texas. You heard what he had to say. I'll be back tomorrow to talk to you about what he had to say. Until then, peace and love, everybody. Mad Dog Russo up next.